course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Glad to see that you're still among the living. Haven't devoured any brains yet.
That you know of.
True, that's true. I don't see you every day, so I don't know what you're doing over there.
It's not like I'm going to publicly own up to that.
True.
So, no, but it has been confirmed. I mean, we missed our first episode ever because I was just too sick, and it has been officially confirmed that going through the Dave Dynasty household is the flu. Monica has been tested flu positive, and the doctor has said that is then obviously what I had previously. I just recover a little quicker than Monica does. Still not 100%. Hoping I can, I'm highly medicated. Hoping I can get through this without losing my breath or coughing my head off. But we will see. The medication might make it more entertaining than usual.
There you
We'll
go.
see. But this week we are playing a little bit of catch up. We've got some things to talk about, and we're doing two reviews. We are going to make up the review for Dark Match that we intended to do last episode. And we are going to also do a review of Hurt Eyes, which we had planned to do this episode. So I have thoughts on both, and I, we'll see what happens. I watched those both medicated as well, so maybe I'm remembering the movies all wrong, but we'll see. But before we dive into this could be a weird episode. I'm telling you, the way I am, as medicated as I am, just I'm reeling, trying to catch up at work. I'm doing all kinds of things. This could be a really weird episode. So we'll see what
Oh,
happens. We do have some good news coming up. There are some good news things to talk about. We'll see where that takes us. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else, I guess, for the last couple of weeks?
yeah, I mean, let me try and think back here. I obviously wouldn't watch Hard Eyes in theaters. I got to go watch in theaters, so it was pretty cool. Obviously watched Dark Match. Still watching through Dexter. That's been my big watch through. We're in season 7 now, so we're almost to the end of like the Dexter, that whole series, and then we're gonna move on to the other Dexter stuff. I mean, honestly, outside of that, not a whole lot. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, just not doing too much other than Dexter. It sounds horrible, but 2 weeks and I haven't really done much.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't watched a whole lot either. Of course, I spent a week of that just pretty much sleeping, and
Right.
didn't even watch a whole lot. So, and other than that, it's just I've been so busy, playing catch up with everything you get behind. That I've not really watched a whole lot new because I didn't have really a lot of time to spare that much attention. So, I have gone down rabbit holes on YouTube of watching punk rock documentaries. That people have made. So that's weird. Just I've watched a lot of shit about, the Dead Kennedys and Minor Threat and Bad Brains and shit like that, but nothing that applies directly to horror. So but there is that. So if anybody else out there is a punk rock fan, you'll hit me up and I could totally chat about that shit. But I'm all about that because I feel like punk rock's a mentality, right? I mean, it's not a musical style so much as it's a mentality, right? And I feel like we're very punk rock here. The whole, do it yourself kind of vibe and what we do and everything. And I feel like we're very punk here on this podcast because, we do it ourselves, man. We're not part of any network or bullshit, man. We fight the establishment, I guess. I don't know.
I would argue, yeah, we do a little bit. I mean, like you said,
Sure.
horror and punk rock go hand in hand, I would say.
They do, right? Yeah, because
Given some crossover between the two, I'd say so. at
Yeah,
least to
there's a
some
lot.
degree.
Yeah. I mean, I would venture to, I would completely argue that independent, a lot of independent horror films are very, they're very punk rock, right? Guys doing it themselves. And I mean, I'm talking in like a, not a musical sense, but in an approach sense, right? It's you know what? I don't need a studio. I'm going to do this myself. And that's, to me, that's very punk rock. It's the, about the mentality. I told you it's going to be a weird episode, man. I don't know where it's going to go. So let's go on to our first segment, though.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where we do just that. We recommend to you a kind of a cheesy, low budget type horror movie. And I try to keep them kind of in the theme. But since we got two movies, I had to pick one. So I went with the whole wrestling theme. And we present to you the movie WrestleManiac. Now I have to be honest, I've not watched this movie yet. I'm very surprised. I'm aware of this movie. I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. I feel like I need to. But the movie WrestleManiac was written and directed by Jesse Baguette, starring Adam Huss, Jeremy Radden, and Rey Mysterio Sr. and more. Now, this is not Rey Mysterio Jr. that we all know from WWE. This is Rey Mysterio Sr., which is actually Rey Mysterio Jr.'s uncle that he took the name from, who just recently passed away here within the last few months. So, but he is in this movie. But there's a sidebar. There's a lot of crossover between Lucha Libre, Mexican wrestling, and movies. The biggest luchadors, El Santo, Mil Máscaras, Blue Demon, are huge movie stars in Mexico. So it's only natural, right? This is not as wacky as it would seem, because I mean, El Santo's battled every freaking monster that there is to to say in Mexican movies. So, but this movie is described as, while driving a van through Mexico looking for a location for shooting a low budget porn, a group get lost and meet a stranger in a remote gas station in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where that gets to wrestling. I don't know, but somehow it does. I heard the whole, shooting a low budget porn, and it made me think very much of the movie X.
Yeah.
So, but I got low budget X vibes with some, Lucha Libre thrown in there, which I'm not arguing. Sounds great to me. This movie was released on DVD on March 11, 2008, and it is available to watch or rent video on demand. I could not find it or see that it was on any of the free streaming platforms. I could be wrong. It may be out there, but from what I can see, it's only available to watch or rent video on demand. But again, this is a movie, like I said, it's been out for a few years now. I've heard of this movie. I knew it was out there. I knew it had, Rey Mysterio Sr. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a lucha fan. I don't know why I haven't seen this movie. It kind of boggles my mind. So I think I'm gonna have to check that off. As soon as I watch it, I will report back to everybody, because I've watched several El Santo, Blue Demon movies in the past, and I love them. They're quirky, they're fun, and I like them. So I you know what? As we'll talk later, spoiler alert, I do enjoy a good wrestling horror movie. So this one sounds fun, and I like the name WrestleManiac. It's like, let's just throw it up there in the WWE's face. Dare you to try to sue me.
You're not wrong. I was like, that's a little on the nose, if you ask me.
Yeah. So let's move on. Talk to us, internet. And it is time for Talk to Us, internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback on the internet, or we just pick up on some topic of discussion that we happen upon, which is what we're doing again this episode, with Scream 7 shaping up to have an absolutely loaded cast. I present the question, can a movie have an overloaded cast? Can it have too many people in it? We've seen this recently with like the movie Scream and some other movies where there's so many people. Scream did a very good job of walking the line to make, each person's appearance mean something. But Ike, what do you think? Can a movie have an overloaded cast where you have so many stars, so many recurring characters, whatever else, that it's hard to give them proper screen time?
Right. Yeah, I definitely feel like that is a concern. That is something to take into consideration going into this movie. I don't know how much of an issue it'll be for this because, Scream traditionally has been pretty good about walking that fine line, especially the last two movies. So I feel pretty confident that, the product that we're going to end up getting, it's going to be what we want. And I don't think the cast or the how many people are in it are really going to matter too much, just because I think it's just going to be. I think it's so well rounded that there's a difference between having an overloaded cast where like some people maybe don't perform to the same level as others. I feel like this is just going to be an overall well-rounded cast, which is going to really benefit it versus harm it. So yeah, I don't know. I do like you said, Stream, for instance, walked a very fine line with its cameos. There's plenty of other movies. Marvel obviously is a big, proponent of cameos and the big team up mashup movies and stuff like that. So, there's always that question of, are there going to be too many big name actors in this movie that it's going to draw away from the story, or is it going to be there's too many people in this movie? So, I don't think that'll be an issue, but we are approaching that line of they're bringing back so many people from the past. It kind of makes you question where they're going with the movie. So that would be my concern versus the are there going to be too many big names to overcrowd the cast, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and what I mean, we know the script's done from what we've gathered, right? From
Right.
what people have put out there. So some of the recent casting announcements, which we'll talk about here in a little bit in the news, that's I mean, obviously that fits into whatever the script they have planned was, right? They had that plan. Some of the cast is just kind of like castings that they had to have, right? Like for Sydney's children, they were going to have them in this movie, so they needed to cast someone to play those characters. So they had to cast for that. So it's not like they forced people into it. It was spots that needed to be filled, and they did a they did a bang up job of getting someone quality to be in there. And I mean, of course, you're going to have you've got Sydney back, right? Of course, so then you're going to want Gail back. You already have that. I'm curious about what's going on with Sydney's husband not being Patrick Dempsey anymore.
Yeah.
What the deal is with that? That's peculiar to me. I don't like that, but we'll see. Again, we'll see what that means. It's hard to say at this point in time whether they're casting just to try to have names in it for casting's sake, or whether they're casting because there's a legitimate need that, the ideals were first, then the casting, which I feel like it was. So I feel like we're okay with this one. So, but we'll see. Yeah, we'll
Yeah.
see. And it's hard to tell until the movie's out,
Absolutely.
which side of the line we're on. So, all right, let's move on. Stump the co-host. All right, and on this episode, we're playing Stump the Co-host. This is our horror trivia game where Ike and I have identical horror trivia decks. We pull two cards from those decks, which is a total of four questions, and Ike and I alternate asking each other questions, and we play until someone wins. If we don't have a winner in those four questions, we continue on until a winner is determined. So far in 2025, Ike has a 1-0 lead. He is the two-time defending champion. So we'll see what happens for the remainder of 2025. We're going to try to keep this to playing Stump the Co-host once a month and see what happens. So hopefully I don't dig myself too big of a hole where I can't battle back. So, Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I sure am.
All right, I am going to ask you first, since you are in the lead. I'm going to put you in the hot spot. Here is your first question. This HBO TV series was based on the novels by Charlaine Harris, featuring a telepathic waitress named Sookie Stackhouse. I don't know what
Okay.
any of that means.
HBO series. I could be completely wrong, but the first thing that came to mind, I'm just going to go with it. Is it True Blood?
It is True Blood, correct.
Okay. I'm gonna be real with you. I got really lucky on that one.
Yeah, I don't. I probably wouldn't have even had that to guess. I've heard lots about True Blood, have not seen any of it. So, all right, Ike, one for you. Bring on my first question.
All right. In the 2009 film Paranormal Activity, what object do the spirits use to communicate with the living?
Oh, damn. It's been a while since I've rewatched. I'm just going to. God, I'm not remembering real well here, but I'm going to say a Ouija board.
You are correct. It is a Ouija board.
I thought that's what it was, but it's like I have yet to do my Paranormal Activity rewatch that I intend to do. So, all right, we're tied 1-1, and here is your second question. What 1986 horror movie features cameos from Ozzy Osbourne and Gene Simmons?
I don't know. I feel like we've talked about this movie. It's like a rock and roll themed like horror movie, so I don't know. Rock of Death, I don't know.
No, it is Trick or Treat.
Oh, yep. I remember that because we had the conversation that it's not the trick or treat, it is trick
No,
or treat.
or treat. Yes. Yeah, we had to talk about it. It's a very difficult movie to find. It's not streaming anywhere. So you have to pretty much have a physical copy of it. So, all right. So I've got a chance to capitalize here. So, what is my second question?
All right. At the end of the 2001 film, The Others, what did the mother Grace figure out about herself and her children?
God, that they are all dead.
That is correct.
I was like, damn, I could not remember for a minute. And then oh yeah, I remember that. All right. Holy shit, I'm in a lead. All right, right here. I think you'll tie it up with this one though. Your third question, who wrote the short story on which the film Children of the Corn was based?
That would be our friend Stephen King.
That is correct. I wish he was my friend. I so wish he was my friend. Steven, if you're out there, I heart you.
Gonna say, I like to think that he is our friend of the show.
He's a friend in spirit.
That's right.
We're kindred spirits. All right, you've tied it up 2-2, so bring on my third question.
All right. We're gonna be talking about some pork. We got Kevin Bacon. Stars in what 1990 film about a group of people fighting for survival against a giant worm-like monsters hungry for flesh?
Is that shit? Is that Tremors?
That is Tremors.
That's what I thought. Woo! Ah, all right. Ooh. I
He's
am up
ready.
three
He's
two.
ready.
If you get this one wrong, I have won. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to celebrate. How do I spike the ball on this? Here we go. Here's your fourth question. What Duffer Brothers TV show takes place in Hawkins, Indiana, and features a young boy's disappearance? God damn.
Yeah, that's sorry to say, that's an easy one. This would, of course, be Stranger Things.
That is correct. All right, we're tied 3-3. I do have a chance to win it here. Here we go. What's my fourth question, Ike?
All right. Your numero quattro question is, what Rolling Stones ballad is sung by the demon Asriel as he possesses bodies in the Denzel Washington film Fallen?
In what movie again?
It is okay. I'll repeat the question because it's kind of
No.
worded weird.
Okay. What Rolling Stones ballad was sung by the demon whatnot?
Asriel as he possesses bodies in the Denzel Washington film Fallen.
Okay. I don't know the movie, but I do know a little Rolling Stones. And it says ballad, which implies it is a slow song. So I've got two choices. I got two choices in my mind. I am going to say, oof. I'm going to say Angie.
It is not.
God
It
damn,
is.
is Wild Horses?
Nope.
Well, fuck. Okay, so I was wrong either way. What was something just?
It was Time Is On Our Side.
Oh yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that's another. All right, here we go. I guess we gotta go to sudden death.
That's
I couldn't
right.
capitalize. We're tied 3-3. What 2016 movie finds a group of thieves trapped inside a house they are trying to rob and discover the owner is not just a blind, helpless victim?
Oh, fuck. That is Don't Breathe.
That is Don't Breathe. Correct. Okay, so I got to get this one right or else you win. So
All right.
here we go.
What 2016 M. Night Shyamalan film is about a kidnapper with 23 different personalities who's about to unleash the 24th?
Is that Split?
That is Split.
Okay. Woo! We got ourselves a brawl going on here. We're tied 4-4 now. All right. Here is your next question. When a Japanese high school student attempts to escape the battle royale, and that's in quotes, what method of control does Takeshi Kitano demonstrate? I don't know what any of
Okay.
that is.
So there's a Japanese film from the year 2000 called Battle Royale. It's a very good movie. I've seen it a couple of times, and they're like put on like an island, I think. And if they try and escape, because it's basically like there's a show or movie similar. It's kind of like Squid Games, but like worse because they didn't go voluntarily to this island. I believe like an implant in their head that explodes or something like that.
It says detonates the explosive collar.
Okay. I don't know if you want to give that to me. I was kind of close, but
I'm going to say no because I think implant and collar is too different.
that is true. Implant and collar are different. I knew it was an explosive device of some sort. I thought, yeah. But it's a good movie. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend it.
All right.
All right.
Okay, here's my
So,
chance to win again.
let me say, if you get this right, you have won. So, what was the profession of the main heroine in the 1981, pardon me, werewolf film, The Howling?
It has been so long since I've watched that. I'm going to say she is a. I really don't know. I'm just guessing here. She is a teacher.
That is not correct. She
Damn.
was a TV news reporter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damn it. That's right. Shit. All right. Here we go. We're continuing on. Tied 4-4. What is the name of Sigourney Weaver's character in Alien?
Would be Ripley, Ellen Ripley.
That's right, Ellen Ripley. All right, so you're up 5-4, so I got to get this one right to
Yep.
tie or you win.
All right, I'm gonna pick you a good card here.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, I picked you a good card. All right. Stuntman Kane Hodder is best known for his portrayal as what character?
Jason Voorhees?
That is correct.
All right. Whew,
All
that was
right.
easy. All right, here you go. This is an easy one. Bela Lugosi was best known for his portrayal of what universal monster?
That would be Count Dracula.
Dracula. That is correct. All right, you're up 6-5. I got to get this one right to tie.
All right. What 1988 film directed by Wes Craven centers around an anthropologist sent to Haiti to research voodoo?
Son of a bitch. 88 Wes Craven movie. Anthropologist sent to hell, Hades to research voodoo? I feel
Yeah.
like I should know this.
So I know this, but I only know it because of the cover. If I remember the cover correctly, it's weird. It has the, oh, what's that guy's name? I can't remember his name. It's,
Well, you don't want to give away too much to me.
no, it's just the actor's name. I doubt that this will help because it was a very early movie of his. I want to.
Son of a bitch. Well,
Oh, it's Bill Pullman. That's who it was.
yeah. Well, I'm gonna think I'm gonna have to concede because I just don't know. I'm not sure what that is.
Well, it is The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Not seen that movie. I'm sorry. All right. Well, fudge. I gave it a run.
You did. You battled me good on this one. That was a hard fought victory.
Yeah, so there, I guess there is hope for me, but one would think that I would have known, give me a Wes Craven movie from the 80s, I should have been good, but no. That's not the case. All right. So Ike has won to go up 2-0 and stump the co-host. So let's take a break. Let me cough my head off and take a drink. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so we're going to start us off with our regular Scream 7 update. We've already talked about it once during this podcast. Might as well talk about it a second time. We have Ethan Embry and Joel McHale joining the cast. Of course, Joel McHale is the cast as Sidney Prescott's husband in this. But it has also been confirmed that Mason Gooding, Jasmine Savoy Brown, Scott Foley, and Matthew Lillard are all returning. Now, not a lot of information has been provided about, what roles these people are returning in. I believe that Scott Foley or Ethan Embry that was the guy from the third movie.
That's Foley. Scott Foley, yeah.
Foley. So obviously,
that's Sydney's half brother.
Yeah. So Foley is the one who is dead. So we don't know what role he will probably take, given the fact that we've also heard that Skeet Ulrich will be back. I wonder if there's going to be a flashback sequence to show Maureen Prescott's murder, because all three of them were present for that. So yeah, we'll have to kind of see in what shape or form that these people take roles. It may be just flashbacks, who knows, but it's super exciting to get some of the alumni from the last two films to return as well. Jasmine Savoy Brown and Mason Gooding. So very excited to hear that, and I'm very excited to see what they do.
Yeah, me too. I don't know how it's gonna all pan out. I don't really care. The headline number one, I'm glad that there is that Mason Gooding, Jasmine Savoy Brown will be there. There's going to be some form of a bridge from the last movies to this. Because that's one thing I've always liked about Scream, is that there's this, this timeline. Right, this continuation. So I like that's there. That there will be a bridge. They're not going to ignore anything. They're going to find a way to bridge it over.
Yeah.
But no matter what, I don't care what else. The fact that it is confirmed Matthew Lillard will be in it in some capacity, bam, I'm there. That's the news I wanted to hear. I don't hold out a lot of hope that he is. I don't know. I guess I don't feel confident that he's going to still be alive, because I don't know that they would have announced it. I don't know. I don't know how to perceive this. I would think that if he was still alive, it was going to be, like the killer or a major character. They wouldn't have announced he's going to be in it. I feel like he's going to be in some form of a flashback or, the vision type thing or something to that effect. But who knows? I don't know. But it doesn't matter to me. I'm super excited for this movie. Cannot wait. We talked about an overloaded cast. I don't care. Just keep piling people in it. I'm so happy. Every name they announce, I'm just like, yeah, bring it on. Let's do it. Let's make everybody in this cast an all-star. I don't know. I hope it just absolutely blows us away. But
Yeah.
we'll see.
Absolutely. And like you said, we don't know to what degree any of these people are going to take roles, so it's hard to speculate right now, but maybe we'll still get our Matthew Lillard as a killer in this movie. We don't know. Like you said, it does seem a little odd that they would announce it in the way that they did if he was, but maybe they're trying to throw us off the trail. That would be my best guess. If anything, hopefully I'm right, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
Moving.
I don't care. I
Sorry.
don't care if it's flashbacks or whatever. I'm just glad he's back in the franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. It's a long time coming, so him being back in any way is good enough for me. But moving on, we have some good news from Shudder. They have ordered 6 new episodes for Creep Tate Season 2 that will premiere later this year. So this is obviously really good news. The Creep Tapes, from everything that we've seen, they are very well done productions, and they're very cheap to produce because it's literally just this guy and like a handful of other people doing some fun stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's just super exciting that they did re renew it. I was a little worried that it would not get more episodes, but this was definitely some good news to hear. Dave and I chat in between episodes, and while he was sick, he actually texted me about this, so I was very excited to hear about it, that's for sure.
Me too. Love the Creep Tapes. Love the first season. Everybody can go back and listen to the episodes. We reviewed them as they came out. We're huge proponents. All the way through doing this podcast, we've been big proponents of the Creep movies, the Creep franchise. We've always said, this thing needs more attention. We were saying that prior to this, right? We were talking about, hey, why aren't more people talking about Creep and Creep 2? And now they have this. Now they have a season 2. People seem to be finally catching up where we were. I'm happy about that. I feel like everything in this Creep franchise is just brilliant. It's just so well done. It's just so fun. And I'm super excited. I mean, I don't see any reason that they would ever have to, they could just keep doing these things because there's clearly lots of victims prior to what we see in the movies. Because there was, all those videos and stuff. So, I'm just. I love it. I want to see more. Keep it coming. And
No, absolutely.
I'm all about it. And again, I was afraid too that maybe there was going to be a one and done, one season and done because maybe they didn't feel like the concept had enough legs. I don't know. It's hard to tell them what they were going to do. But I'm so glad that we get 6 more. I'm so glad that they're coming later this year, which is pretty much means that the ball was already rolling on it. They were just, they knew they were going to do this. So, and again, they're not hard to make. I would venture to guess as far as production goes, because most episodes only have like 2 people in them, more or less.
Right.
And they're, the quality is meant to look, found footage. So, there's not, I'm not saying it's easy. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying it's a different approach. So, I'm glad that not only that there's a season 2, but I'm glad that we don't have to wait super long for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, not to say that it's easy per se, but it is a simpler production, for sure. So very good. But we'll keep an eye out for that, and of course when it comes around we'll probably review these episodes as well. Undoubtedly these are just very fun little short bites of horror that always are enjoyable, so
That's right, because we're the what the peach fuzz groupies around here. So,
that's right, that's right. We'll probably see the guy, what's it, oh man, I already forgot his name off the top of my head. I forgot
Mark,
the
what is it, Mark something? I don't know.
yeah
I can't think of it. I mean, I'm highly medicated on cold medicine, so I don't ask me shit like that right now.
It's
It's
Mark Duplass.
there you go, Dubois. It's a wonder I got 5 trivia questions right, as medicated as I am. So, yeah, but I'm
Actually,
telling you, Mark's. Duplass, he's a genius, man. He is just, and you can tell when guys are passionate about something, right? And they're invested in something and are having fun with it. And he's so creative and he's such a talented actor. And I can't wait to see more.
absolutely. Actually, weirdly enough, I saw, who was it? So he, Mark Duplass is married to a woman named Katie Hazelton or something like that, and they're both in the first Creep movie.
In the first what now?
The first Creep movie.
Oh yeah, creepy. Okay.
But they also made like a TV show or something together. There was a TV show that they were both worked on or something to that degree. But the two of them were actually on a game show called The Celebrity Name Game. Have you ever seen that? So it's actually really fun. They basically just it's like a guessing type game where you have to give clues to somebody, but you play with a celebrity. Well, Mark Duplass and his wife, Katie Hazelton, were on an episode, and I was like, "Holy shit, that's Mark Duplass!" But the show's actually produced by Courteney Cox and David Arquette,
Yeah.
which another fun little fact. And they were on a few episodes as well. That just came to my mind, but I just had to share that with everyone since I saw that show the other day.
It's funny because I don't know anything Mark Duplass does outside of the creep stuff.
Right.
So it's like in my mind, he's just a horror guy,
He's
right?
just
That
a creep.
only us horror fans know of him. But I'm sure he's done other stuff, and it's like I don't know. It's weird to think of him as being a celebrity. I don't know. I don't know. It's peculiar to think. But I'm glad. I'm glad he's invested in this creep stuff, because
That's what I was
it's.
gonna
I
say.
am. I'm a huge fan. Love it.
That's the thing too about it is that like he does these other things, but like you said, like I feel like he's very invested in the Peach Fuzz character, the creep character. So that's just
Yeah, Peach. What did I say earlier? Did I say something different
you
earlier?
said Peach Fuzz. You said we're the Peach
Okay.
Fuzz fan club.
I'm telling you, dude. I am on cold medicine. I'm like high as a kite right now on cold medicine. And
This man's over here tripping on lean. He's like,
this is a slice of life right here that I'm gonna have to go back and listen to because I'm probably not gonna remember any of this. I'm probably gonna be like texting you later, like, did we record? And I don't know, man. Maybe I should take like Dayquil all the time to I do apparently I do better on the trivia when I'm
right. Apparently, when you're lit off the lean, you're like, hell yeah, I got the trivia ready to go.
the flu is my trivia ally.
That's right. That's funny.
That's all right. I'd rather not have the flu and lose every time.
I was gonna say I'd rather not have the flu, but pop
The
off.
flu is fucking no joke, man. It just, I mean, I slept so goddamn much. Not even funny. But I'm getting sidetracked. Go ahead, let's go. Keep going with the news. What else we got?
That's right. A sixth Insidious film has been pushed back and will now release August 21st, 2026. I believe we've talked about this a lot, actually, and it was supposed to come out this year, or something Insidious related was supposed to come out this year, but it got pushed back. So it is what it is. We're obviously big proponents of, if you need to take longer to get it right, that's all you need to say. We'd rather you not push it and put out an inferior product. I'm cool with them pushing it back and releasing it next year. Assuming we're all still here next year, so
Who knows? But yeah, I mean that's kind of the standard anymore though, right? They say we're doing this, we're working on this. They just throw out a year or a date, and it typically gets changed. And typically, I mean that's almost the standard anymore, because they put out an ambitious date that you almost know it's like, hey, you're not gonna hit that date. That's just not gonna happen. I mean, it's like we don't even have a title yet. Come on, and you're gonna put a movie out later this year. There's no trailer, no nothing yet. That's not how this works nowadays. And it's like, so you almost expect this kind of stuff. I'm cool. There's enough good stuff out there. I'm like, whatever. Like you said, take the time you need. We're not hurting for shit. I mean, so, but again, like, how many times have we done this, right? Where there's a movie and they've thrown a date out there and it's got pushed back. We expect it with most of these big releases anymore because they just throw something out there to try to get the ball rolling, and you just know in the back of your head, yeah, you're not going to hit that date. That's getting pushed
Right.
back. So, no surprise there, but that's cool. I'm good with that, right? They have said that they, right? This is probably it, right? This is the probably last of the mainline Insidious movies, right? Not saying within the universe, but as far as Insidious films themselves, this is probably the last one. So, you know what? Take your time, get it right.
Yeah.
We're here for you.
Exactly. That's right. Well, and honestly, like, kind of speaking on that same subject, it was the same way with the Silent Hill movie, The Return to Silent Hill. They had a 2024 release date, and I was like, there's no way. I was like, this just got announced, like, not even that long ago. The IMDb said 2024, and I'm like, there's no way in hell. And then it said 2025.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's like the norm anymore. It's right. You get a, oh, they're doing this movie and they throw this date out there and you're like, well, how long they've been working on this? It's like, how are they going to hit that date? So it's like you almost expect the pushback, the date that you push. That's just almost, it's just the way it works anymore. That the initial date, you're not going to hold your breath on that one. That's probably getting changed, and that's okay. It's just the way of the system, and that's okay.
That's right.
It is what it is. I'm glad I feel a little more confident. This is the date now. So we're looking, we'll look forward to August of 2026.
There you go. Well, we're going to move on to our next little bit of information. This is some information that is definitely happening in the very, 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 very near future. Terrifier 3 will be releasing on Screambox on February 14th. Today is the 11th, so the 14th will
As we record.
be the as we record, and
And
then
this will be
the four
released on the 13th, I believe.
says 14th, so it'll be Friday,
That's right.
so the day
So,
after release.
yep, depending on when you listen to this, it could already be out. And I'm super psyched. I'm super stoked. I can't wait to watch it again. I'll probably watch it a handful of times. I'm ready. It's always exciting when it hits, when the Terrifier, it's anybody that listens to us know how much we love the Terrifier the Earth Clown. If you follow us on social media the day of we're recording this, you saw a goofy ass picture of me holding an Earth Clown popcorn bucket. And it's shit. It's just we both seen this movie. We both reviewed this movie. We both love this movie. And we're primed and ready to watch it again. But although I do have it on Blu-ray. I guess I could have watched it already. I haven't watched it yet, but I do own it on Blu-ray. I did buy it on Blu-ray, but
Actually, weirdly enough, that reminded me. I looked over at my shelf over here. Well, first of all, I forgot to tell David this, so he's probably gonna skin me alive for this. Well, maybe not part of it. So I finally we I put an order in for the three Pop Funkos from Amazon: the Art the Clown on the bike, the bloody Art the Clown, and the Art the Clown with a knife. I got one of them months ago. And then they told me that the other two were canceled. Well, then the other two popped back up in our thing, and I got one of them like 2 months ago. And then the other one came through like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, okay, got all the ones from.
That's how mine happened too. It's like I had them all ordered. It's like I only got the regular, I think. And then it's like all of a sudden it's like the bite one showed up. And then it's like a few weeks ago, like the bloody one showed up, and I thought it was done. But yeah, so I have those three.
Well, the other day, my wonderful wife Kayla, she went on the website for Books a Million,
Oh, you got the
and
little pale girl.
she was able to snag the little pale girl. She
Yeah,
did look to try and get one for you, but she they could
no,
only get
no.
one.
Yeah, I'm good. I think I'm going to get it because I'm pretty sure our Books a Million here in town has it. It shows in stock. I actually just
Sweet.
saw this over the last few days. I would have already had it if it hadn't been for being sick. So hopefully they still got them. But I was aware of that as well because that was always supposed to be like. Like a Funko.com exclusive originally is what they said. And then everybody was like, oh, they're showing up at Books a Million. And I was like, oh, okay. So I while I was sick and in bed, I looked it up. Oh, my Books a Million has it. But
There
I've not made it there yet. But I will be getting that soon too. But I gotta get that. I mean, I still have to get the flower glasses one.
Yeah, me
Right.
too.
And is there one other?
Yeah, the one
Oh
where
yeah,
he's on the toilet.
the naked guy. That when he's naked, right?
Not the toilet, yeah, he's naked.
Yeah, where he's naked in the laundromat.
Yeah.
So I still got to get those, but
There's
yeah,
also
I got to
the
get.
soda can one too. I'm not sure if you found that one.
No, I haven't got that yet. Yes, I got that. So is the little pale girl look good?
I think so. The eyes are glow in the dark, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Well, I also got one other thing, Terrifier, this weekend. On
Okay.
Sunday, we went to Walmart and I found the collector's edition VHS for for Terrifier 3.
Oh, yeah.
Kayla was like, "Why do you want the VHS?" She's like, "It's literally a VHS." And I'm like, "But it's so fucking cool. Like,
It
why would
is
I
so
not?"
awesome.
So I actually, weirdly enough, because fun fact, a lot of modern TVs don't have the RG, like the red, blue, white cables, the AV cables. So you have to get a converter. I got a converter for like my PlayStation 2, because I guess I'm ancient now. But we also have a VHS player, so we're gonna hook it up soon and watch it. But this comes with a movie, but it also comes with a second VHS with special features, including the Yule log on it. So I'm very excited to crack that open and watch it, because I just feel like it being in the VHS format is going to make it so much cooler.
Oh, it is. I have a VHS player. It's not hooked up currently, but I do have one. I have the adapter and stuff because I primarily have that because of, lots of wrestling on VHS for people recorded back in the day so that I can convert it over. But that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I got to get the Books a Million to get that. And it's wild because it seems like just not so long ago we were clamoring for Terrifier merchandise, and now it's like just it's we're getting more and more of it. And I mean, there's supposed to be a like a one of those, I don't know what they call them, Funko Scenes or whatever it is, with like Sienna and Art coming out this year sometime, I think, and stuff like that. It's pretty cool that we're getting all this shit. I'm super stoked. All about it. But yeah, I meant to say something too about the little pale girl. I totally forgot about that too. But yeah, our Books a Million had it in stock. I hope they still do.
Well, it's so weird, because like and it had me pondering. I'm like, why do you, like, stores like Books a Million have it, but like you can't find it like on normal retailer? It's just, I don't know. It's weird how it all works.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to get stuff to draw people in, I guess. I don't know. Books a Million's a big time. They have a lot of pops. They have quite a few, and they get exclusive things and stuff. I mean, if you go to, do you have a Books a Million, like an actual Books a Million there to look at, to go to?
Yeah, it's like its own like store. It's like in a strip mall type deal, but it's like
It's
its
in Des
own
Moines.
thing.
You got
It's, yeah.
they have a very large Funko pop collection or section or whatever you want to call it. So they have a lot, but yeah. Our like I said, ours are here in town. They had it, so I hope they still do. And I intended to get it, but then the damn flu.
You got the plague.
Yeah, but hopefully they still got it. So yeah, I'm
Absolutely.
trying to fill out those. Man, it's like a couple of those Art the Clowns, though. It's like hard to get, and I'm like, you got to get them third party, and it's like their markup. But I got to have them at some point. I got to have them all. So. I'll get there.
That's what I was gonna say. You'll get there eventually.
I can't
I like
wait for the
this.
one because I can't wait to have a Sienna. Man, that'll look awesome.
It will be. As soon as it goes on pre-order, I'm getting it. Like I told Kayla that, I was like, as soon as it pops, I gotta get it. Like, I'm not
Yeah,
gonna
you just.
wait, because I waited with the pale girl and we almost missed out on
Yeah.
it.
It's so hard with those Funko, the exclusive too, because it's like, even when I try to go on, you try to go on, sometimes you don't get on there quick enough. They sell out so quick. And I tried to, there were some Supernatural Funko.com exclusives I tried to get. And I was on there pretty quick, and they were already sold out by the time I got on there. They had a, like a yellow-eyed Sam and a Eye of the Tiger Dean, where he's, playing the guitar on his leg, like from that outtake from that one.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like we've really ventured off, so. But yeah, anyway.
It happens.
Yeah. So go ahead though. Well, we're on Terrifier. There's another Terrifier news board news, right? Yeah.
There sure is. Damien Leone has confirmed that he is working on the script for Terrifier 4 and has said he will finally reveal the art for me, the origins of Art the Clown. So that is extremely, extremely good, because what do we always say? Art the Clown is very mysterious, and part of his wonder is not having a backstory. But I feel like at this point, given the amount of literature about him, it is time for him to have a backstory, in my opinion.
It is. And Leone, when he posted it, he did call it conclusion. He did call
Yes.
Terrifier 4 the conclusion. So I think he's taking a break after this one. And we'll see what happens, whether he returns. I mean, either he returns to it at some point, whether he lets someone else dabble in the universe, who knows? But and I'm good with that. I'm good at, with him making the fourth, telling his story, and just, you know what, taking a break for a little bit and doing something different. I highly believe he'll return to it, right? How could he not? So, but I'm super excited. I really want to see what he has envisioned for the origins, and it'll be fun.
Absolutely. 100% agree. But that is all for our news this week. We're going to move on to some upcoming birthdays. We have February 13th of 1951, David Naughton from An American Werewolf in London. Werewolves in London. Dave and I both really like this. We even talked about this in one of our last few episodes when we reviewed Wolfman. American Werewolf in London is a very good example of a good werewolf movie for sure. So. Very,
I
very
agree.
fun times.
It is one of the, I mean, a great transformation scene and everything else. Just a great movie. If you've not seen it, then go see it. But happy birthday, Mr. Naughton.
Malton. And we're going to move on to February 14, 1970. Simon Pegg from films such as Shaun of the Dead, as well as many others, Hot Fuzz, World's End, he's in The Boys. Such a
Star Trek.
oh I Star Trek.
The new
Speaking
Star
of,
Trek.
I did finish The Boys, all the seasons of The Boys.
Good shit.
Good shit. He's a good character as well, obviously.
Yeah.
His character is very fun. But obviously, happy birthday to him.
Definitely. And if anybody wants to check out Prime Simon Pegg, fucking watch the show Spaced. That is,
Yes.
oh my God, that show's so damn good. It is comedic genius. And but I love Simon Pegg. I will watch him in anything. I don't care what it is. I will watch him in anything, but he's great.
Yeah, absolutely. He is what I would consider a very accomplished actor, and I think that one day he will be more recognized for his contributions, more so than he is now, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, Shaun of the Dead's a masterpiece.
It really is. Shaun of the Dead is one of the probably the greatest, I guess, parody-esque movies that has ever been made, in my opinion.
Love it.
But happy birthday, Simon. Moving on now to February 17, 1965. Jonathan Breck, the Creeper in Jeepers Creepers. Obviously, an iconic role and an iconic character. The director, not such a good guy.
Right.
But, can't win them all. But yeah, here's what I'll say. Jeepers Creepers, the character, iconic, obviously. But sometimes you do have to separate art from artist, and this is a very good example of that.
Yeah. And you know what? I hope we haven't seen the last of Jeepers Creepers. I hope, we can get some somebody else on board. And but who knows? I don't know. But especially the first one. It's a good movie.
Absolutely. Very good movie. The others are eh, but like you said, hopefully we'll see Jeepers Creepers in some way, shape, or form in the future. Moving on now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have February 13th, 2009, the Friday the 13th remake starring our boy Jared Padalecki.
Yeah.
Love this movie. I think it's a very honorable remake of the franchise. And like we said, it condenses the first three films into one powerful movie. And hits on all the high notes, and I think it's a very strong remake, and I'm so sad that they never did anything else with it.
Yet. Yeah. So,
Yet.
I like it. It's good. Can't go wrong with Padalecki. And it is what it is. It's as far as remakes go, yeah, it's pretty good. And
There you go. But all right, we're going to move on to our next anniversary, February 14th, 1931. Dracula, the original with Bela Lugosi. Obviously, this is again an iconic film. It is historical. It is the beginning of a very large string of franchises that span generations. Dracula is a fantastic film, one that I've not seen in far too long.
Yeah, just again, it's a great movie, beautiful movie. And you cannot, I mean, you just cannot overstate the cultural impact of this movie. What 99% of the people of the world envision for a vampire is Bela Lugosi in this movie. So, I mean, this is the prototypical vampire that has been done in so many things, with the cape and the little pennant and the slick back hair and the whatever. This it's that is all Bella in this movie, and it's a great movie. So.
Absolutely. Iconic all the way around. But we're going to move on to February 19th, 1993. We have Army of Darkness, the third in the Evil Dead trilogy, the original trilogy. Fantastic film as well. More of a leans into the comedy than the horror, compared to its predecessors. But nonetheless, a very fun film and something that I feel like everyone should watch as part of their required viewing. And it's so good. So good. Ash and his conclave of, in this movie he goes back in time, spoiler alert, and his conclave of people there. It's so funny how it all works. And I will never forget the first time I watched that movie, because I watched the first movie and I'm like, oh, let's watch Army of Darkness. And it was so different, but so much fun.
It is. It's. I mean, it's a goofy movie, but it's literally. I would not call it the best of the franchise by any stretch of the imagination, but it
Right.
is probably what encompasses the franchise the most in one movie. I mean, if you had to ask someone, what are the Evil Dead? What's the Evil Dead franchise like? What's Ash like? You're like, just watch Army of Darkness. And
Right.
that gives you the feel for it all. And it's I like it. It's fun. Like I said, it's not my favorite of the franchise, but it's a fun movie. And it's Bruce Campbell at his goofy best.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of the things that I always appreciate about Army of Darkness specifically is the special effects work on it. Something that it's often overlooked for is just how fantastic the special effects are. Just simply looking at, like, for instance, the enemy designs in that game, or the game, the movie, and the skeletons and everything else. I mean, that was all done by Tom Savini, who, did a lot of really great work on that. So that's another thing I really appreciate about this movie that you don't see a lot anymore.
They wanted to take some chances with this movie.
They certainly were. But all right, that does it for our upcoming movie anniversaries. Now we're going to move on to our upcoming releases. We have The Dead Thing. Will be released on Shudder on February 14th, this Friday. It is described as a young woman lost in a series of meaningless connections, falls in love with a charismatic and sensitive man who hides a dark secret that turns her affair into a dangerous obsession. Interesting appeal to that. I guess we'll have to see. That doesn't give me a whole lot about what's going on. I don't think I've ever seen a trailer for this movie, but yeah,
Sounds like the
I'll
perfect
definitely.
Valentine's movie, though.
It does. It does. It's very Valentine's-esque, so I'll definitely check this out. No problem with that.
Sure. It's on Shudder. It's a new release. I'll watch it. I mean, I don't even need a description. I just jump on Shudder and like, oh, this is new. I'll watch this. So I have faith. But we'll see. The movie The Dead, or the name The Dead Thing makes me like, what's that mean? But
Right. Absolutely. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like we said, I'm always willing to give a Shutter movie a chance, but let's
sure.
hope it doesn't let's hope it doesn't stink. So
All That's
All right.
what's what we always hope.
That right, yeah. I mean, that's always a general hope, but we'll see. All right. That does it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. What you're going to do now is make sure you follow us on social media. That way you can catch up with this in real time. We post about this as it happens and anything else that might happen, any breaking news, etc. So check us out. But in the meantime, take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our official review of Dark Match and Hard Eyes. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. Woo! I feel like we've gone long already, Ike. But we got two reviews to do, so we're going to try to buzz through these. These are spoiler-free, of course. And we're going to begin with the movie Dark Match. It is written and directed by Lowell Dean, starring Aisha Issa, Stephen Ogg, Sarah Canning, Chris Jericho, and others. The movie was released January 31st on Shudder. We spoke earlier, Ike. Man, I love wrestling. I love horror. This combines the two. I have to say, I'm not like a huge Chris Jericho fan, but I thought he was really good in this. I really thought he did a great job as this like cult leader type figure. I don't know who's who. I think Stephen Ogg plays the shit. What was the main guy's name? Mean. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was it. Oh man, what? Oh my god,
whatever his name was. Yeah, but yeah, I thought he did a good job. I thought everybody did a good job in it. Sarah Canning, I believe she was also in. She was in an episode of Supernatural. She played the Amazon lady that Dean slept with, and had a baby with in that one episode.
Okay.
And she's in this. I thought it was. I really like the movie. I like the way they laid it out, the way they did it, the premise behind it. I liked the delivery. I thought it was fun. I would classify this as one of those cheesy type movies a little bit, but in a really good and fun way. This is one of those movies that you kind of knew where it was going to go. You kind of knew what was going to happen towards the end a little bit, right? You knew what they were building to. You got the vibe, and they let you in on some stuff pretty quickly. They weren't trying to, play a lot of smoke and mirrors with you. But it was okay. And I thought it was just a fun movie. I really thought it was just, enjoyable to watch. It's what I like to call one of those popcorn movies, right? It's like, you know what? Pop up a big bowl of popcorn, just sit back and just fucking lose yourself for an hour and a half and have a good time. You don't have to overthink it. You don't have to, pay attention to every detail and think you got to take notes to be able to follow the movie. It's just a fun little movie. And again, I'm biased when they throw wrestling in a movie. I like it. It makes, whether you go back to, Here for Blood or whatever else it is, you got a little wrestling in the movie. It's gonna get a few points for me. And again, like I said, I'm not a big Jericho guy, but I thought he was really, really good in this movie. I've seen him act in a few things, mostly bit parts here and there, and he's done okay. I think this is probably the biggest role I've seen him in. To my knowledge, to my memory, but and I really thought he did good. I thought he delivered. I thought he was was very passable. And it was just, you know what? It was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. It's what I hoped it would be and what I expected going into it, and that's okay. Right? It didn't not like it blew me away in any way. It's what I expected. Just a fun little horror movie with some wrestling theme, in it, and I'm cool with that. And then but I had a good time with it. And it's a movie that I, if the mood hit me right, I'd rewatch it somewhere down the road. If I was looking for something like this to watch. So, Ike, what'd you think of Dark Match?
Well, I loved it a lot. To kind of explain a little bit, you said Stephen O, his name is Mean Joe Lean.
There you go, Minju. I knew it had something like it was some rhyming going in there.
And Aisha Issa's name is Misbehave.
Misbehave, yeah.
And a fun fact, the other character, Cake the Great, which is like the baby face, like the big baby face,
That's Sarah
is
Canning.
play. Yep, Sarah Canning, who is Vampire Diaries stardom there, she
Oh, yeah.
plays.
Like I said, she's also in an episode of Supernatural.
Yeah, she specifically plays Aunt Jenna, who's like the main character's like aunt who, spoiler, very quickly dies.
But
But
she plays an Amazon of Supernatural
there you go. But
as
yeah,
Dean's baby.
that is very true. Oh man. That was a good episode. I was not expecting that to be the creature of that episode. That was a very
It's pretty good.
unique one. But
Which,
anywho.
by the way, that I don't want to go off tangents. That girl was in another episode, the one that played Dean's daughter. She was in an even better episode with the oh shit, I don't remember what it's called. With the inbred family.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember what
Oh
it's called. The
crap.
Benders.
Yeah.
She was the daughter in that one. Again,
Yep.
not a Supernatural podcast, even though I could talk about Supernatural indefinitely.
Oh, absolutely. We Supernatural could have a whole episode, multiple episode series in of itself.
We may have to
But
do an episode on Supernatural at some point, just because I want to.
no, absolutely. I mean, it is horror. It is a supernatural.
You know
It's
what? I'm telling you, I watch this series all the time, right? We just watch it over and over and over again. I marvel at how much shit they got by with on the CW because there is some borderline gruesome stuff for TV on there.
I mean,
I will say.
there's a lot of stuff that goes on the CW that I'm always surprised goes on, because like the Vampire Diaries and all that were CW, and there's like straight up beheadings and shit like that on there. So, yeah, I agree. Very surprised by that.
Well,
But
anyway, go back to what is it? Dark Match. Yeah, there we go.
yep, no, sorry, we got a little tangent there, but that's okay. But Dark Match, obviously. Like Dave said, you put wrestling and horror in a movie, it's going to be at least moderately enjoyable. Like Dave, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Jericho for reasons outside of like his acting. So I'm not going to get into it, but if you know type deal. But Chris Jericho was passable, like you said, as a cult leader, which I guess says a little bit of something about him. And he being weird and creepy just kind of comes naturally to him, it almost seems. And I gotta say, of his filmography, this was pretty good. I liked his role in Terrifier 3. Getting brutally murdered was a treat for me. Sorry, I'll stop dogging on Chris Jericho.
I used to
Anywho,
love Chris Jericho too.
I did too. I did too. His wrestling, especially when he transitioned over from WCW to the WWF, WWE, whatever the fuck, super good wrestling, super revolutionary wrestler. Even his stuff with Kevin Steen, well, it wasn't Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, it was super great. And I just feel like it really took a huge south turn. But this, again, is not a wrestling podcast.
I have personal reasons for not liking Chris Jericho a little bit, and then I have wrestling reasons. And I try to separate everything a little bit to look at it. So in this case, I'm trying to look at Chris Jericho just as an actor.
Yeah.
And and again, I thought this role was fitting for him. And I thought again, I thought he did a very good job. I just thought he was very believable. I don't know
Yeah.
what's call that a good thing, bad thing, whatever it might be. I just thought he was very believable in his role for this movie.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the role that he portrayed was very believable in how he did it. So good plus there. Honestly, there was nobody in this movie that I thought was particularly bad. All the acting and even the wrestling choreography looked good. I love Stephen Ogg. I think he's a super cool dude. You know,
Yeah.
he not only is he like in this, but he's in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's in Grand Theft Auto for people who play that game. But Stephen Ogg's a really cool guy in real life, really nice dude, from what I understand. So overall, it was just had a lot of people in this that I was like, oh yeah, I know that person. I like that person. And you know, and then also Chris Jericho. So you know, I quite enjoyed the film overall. The story was engaging, the feuding between some of the wrestlers was also engaging. Like you felt like a real feud was going on, and they really make it seem like, you know, wrestling is like this really true to form, like, you know, connection between all these people. And wrestling was very integral to the story as well. It was, excuse me, it was not just a side piece of it. It was more of a integral literary method of like pulling the story in the right direction. And it all kind of comes back to wrestling. And that was one thing that I didn't really care about with the other film that we were just talking about that had wrestling in it. What was it called? Here for Blood. And that it didn't really have like a lot of wrestling in it. Like it referenced wrestling. It said the guy was a professional wrestler, but it didn't have much to it that was wrestling. This really did. This had a lot of connections to it, a lot of in the ring action. Just really cool overall. I think this would be a fun little movie to watch, especially if you like wrestling. But even if you don't, it's a nice little horror movie that has its moments. So it's a very charming movie, I'll say that.
Yeah, I agree. I just again, I you know, you kind of had a vibe pretty quick, feeling where it was going, and what the at least what the gist of what was going to happen was. You know, maybe not the specifics. It was okay, but that's okay, right? Again, we've said that all the time. It's you don't have to, you don't have to rock our minds every time. It's okay to go with the obvious story and where it leads you. And again, there was an obvious, I don't know. I mean, if you're paying attention, there was an obvious of, again, not maybe the specifics, but the overall of why this situation is what it is. If you watch the movie. So anyway, but I did. I enjoyed it. I thought it was just, again, like one of those fun movies to watch. It's not like it's genre breaking, or it's not like it's, it's whatever. But
Right.
I don't expect every movie to be that way. I'm okay with if I watch an hour and a half and I feel like I had a good time, I'm cool with that. That's an accomplishment. So before we move on to the next movie, let's go ahead and rate this thing. Like I said, I enjoyed it, but I'm not, I can't say it was, super over the top genre breaking or whatever. So I'm just gonna give it a straight 3 out of 5 because I thought it was just a fun movie. So I'm giving it a 3 screams out of 5. Like, what are you giving Dark Match?
I think I just have to give it kind of a straight up. I think I'd give it about a 3. It's something I would rewatch. It didn't have anything super spectacular that blew me out of the water. But it is something I rewatch. It was enjoyable. It just was kind of a middle of the ground movie for me. But it that's not to say it was bad in any way, shape, or form. It's just that, you know, it didn't break any new ground. It wasn't super revolutionary in any specific category. You know, A plus for the choreography and the wrestling and everything else, but 3 out of 5 is where I'm going to stick it.
All right. So let's move on to Heart Eyes, written by Philip Murphy, Christopher Landon, and Michael Kennedy, directed by Josh Rubin, starring Lauren O'Hara, Mason Gooding, and others. The movie was released February 7th, and it is available now to watch in theaters. The movie did gross $8.5 million domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number two, behind what was that movie, Dog Boy, the Captain Underpants, I think, whatever. I think that's what that is. I don't know. Dog Boy,
Oh
whatever. Dog Man, Dog Boy, whatever it is. I don't know
a
what that
book of
is.
some kind.
Eh, something or other. And again, I've heard a lot of buzz about this movie online, about Hard Eyes and how good it was and this and that and everything else. And again, it was a fun movie. I did enjoy it. It's one of those movies though where I feel like maybe I'm just a, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little old for where it was aiming. That's not to say I didn't enjoy it, but I feel like this was more of a more of one of those 20-something horror movies. It's weird to say that. I don't. I know that sounds odd, but it just I don't know. The movie was fine. It was fun. I enjoyed it. The acting was good. I always loved Mason Gooding. I thought he did a great job in this as well. I don't. I don't feel like they broke any molds here. Kind of had a feeling a little bit of where this was going, at least in one vein. I kind of had that feeling. There was one scene that I thought, oh yeah, okay, I see what they're doing here. And but not again. It's not a bad thing. That's okay. I will say that I was. I don't know. I kind of felt like I was kind of hoping for, try not to give anything away. I was kind of hoping for a little something at the end. It's almost like I felt like the ending they had, I thought there was maybe going to be one more surprise thrown in there. You know what I mean? And
Right.
it didn't really happen. Which is okay. You know, it's not a big deal. But I don't know. I just got the vibe and the feel like, ooh, they're gonna do one more thing, and it didn't happen. And but again, I've seen a lot of hype about this movie, and while I enjoyed it, I don't know that I will quite sell it as hard as some of the people seem to be doing online. It was a fun movie. It was a good movie. It was an enjoyable watch. It's a movie that, yeah, I probably watch rewatch. But I'm just point blank, absolutely. I'm just gonna say it. Between the two movies, I really think I enjoyed Dark Match a little more. It's not the knock Hard Eyes. I just feel like I don't know. I felt like Hard Eyes was a little cookie cutterish for me. And that's not to say, you know, the deliveries, the acting was bad. I don't know. And I'm not gonna knock it because there's not any surprises to it or anything, but I don't feel like there was anything that was anything on this movie either that was what I would call, you know, genre breaking or groundbreaking or that different from a lot of other movies. It was just I don't know. To me, it was just kind of one of those middle of the pack horror movies, like a lot of other movies. You know, like kind of like Dark Match. I don't see a whole lot to this that set that apart from a movie like Dark Match to me. You know, Mason Gooding was great in it. I will give him that. He is super talented. No doubt about that. And you know, I don't know. I don't know. But again, I can also recognize that I'm not probably the target audience for this movie. And I really don't think, I think this is a much more mainstream horror movie than a lot of hardcore horror fans will jump on board for. I'm not saying they won't enjoy it, but I feel like this was a more general public horror movie. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. This was not like a Terrifier type movie, right? Where you really gotta like horror to like it, right? You're not gonna get just those general viewers. And I just feel like Hard Eyes was much more of a you get a little more of the fringe horror fan. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with fringe horror fans, but I'm just saying that, you know, as far as a hardcore horror fan who's seen a fucking hell of a lot of horror movies, you know, I don't know if there's anything about Hard Eyes that differentiates it in that much more than lots of horror movies than Dark Match or any other movie that we've watched recently. You know, I just don't. It was a good movie. It was a fun movie, but I don't feel anything that just blew me away to set it out from the pack. It just felt like, you know, another one of those kind of horror movies that they do nowadays. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying nothing felt super original to it. I just seen a lot of people really hype it up. And that's okay. I'm glad that they loved it, but I guess I'm not seeing what they see that sets it apart that much differently. What do you think, Ike?
Well, Maybe this is again sort of that divide that you and I have. I really enjoyed Hard Eyes. I thought it was actually really well done. It was a very clever movie. It was obviously it does. I think it does appeal to maybe that younger generation, maybe perhaps. And I do also think that it does appeal to a different kind of horror fan as well. I think that both of those are accurate statements from what you've said so far. excuse me. I do think that when you watch this movie, it's definitely something that I don't think maybe that like a hardcore horror fan, somebody who's more in line with like a Terrifier or something like that, there may not be a lot of crossover because this movie does play up on the what's the word? It plays up a lot on the, I guess, the cheese of Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
It's a Valentine's Day killer, and you know this, that, and the other. So you know, I guess what I mean to say is that for me, it was cheesy, but it was cheesy in the right ways. Basically, it approached itself and it made itself not super, didn't take itself super seriously, which is, in what in my opinion, made the movie as good as it was. You had this movie that was basically making fun of Valentine's Day and making fun of Valentine's Day themed horror movies, which is a very interesting thing to do considering the type of movie it was. But it definitely plays up on the tropes of like, you know, oh, I just met this person, but I love them type thing. And like you said, I did kind of expect there to be a little bit extra at the end.
Yeah.
But of course, we didn't get that. I thought that that was going to leave us on a little bit of a cliffhanger, but we didn't get the cliffhanger. That's okay though. We still got some fun out of it. But you know, nonetheless, it's a very interesting, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very interesting slasher movie, and it's a very interesting approach they took to the slasher movie because they could have gone a lot of directions with this because they have a little bit of source material, if you will, to work with. They could have gone, you know, the My Bloody Valentine route or any number of horror, you know, similar horror movies. There's a lot of ways that they could have gone, and you know, and they went the route that they did, and I think that it's commendable. I think it's a good enough movie. But I would watch it again if somebody were to say, you know, hey, would you go watch this movie again? I would say absolutely. I would 100% watch this movie again. Just for the simple fact to watch the kills. The kills were very, you know, cinematic. They were very carefully, I think, created and curated. And it's certainly something to commend with how they did the movie. And like you said, it was it breaking new ground? Perhaps not. You know, it is hard to break new ground in the world we live in, especially as it pertains to horror movies. It's very difficult to make a horror movie stand out because a lot of horror movies do kind of just seem the same these days. But I do think this movie did a little bit of a good job of standing out. But you know, what more can you do with a horror movie in the in this day and age? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not that I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it. It just, to me, this is, I don't know. It's like a rom-com horror movie. I don't know. It's
Right.
like it was trying a lot of things. I think it might have, to me, it really would have benefited a lot with having something at the end there and not having that textbook ending that it had. I know that's a little spoilerish. I just think we needed one more gasp type at
Yeah.
the end that might have made it a little different to set it a little more of a, hey, this is not a rom-com, it's more horror than a rom-com. But it didn't, I don't know, it just felt like it tipped it more of a, oh, this is a rom-com type thing. And what that happens to be, a little bit of horror. And, I don't know, it's not bad, it wasn't bad. I guess I don't know, I was hoping for a little more. I was hoping for a little more. That old school, the iconic character, and I don't know. I felt like we just it missed it a little, but it wasn't bad. I'm not gonna say it was a bad movie or it wasn't enjoyable. But I'm literally, if you sat me down and said, "Okay, pick one. Are you gonna you want to watch Dark Match or you want to watch Hard Eyes?" Every time I'm gonna pick Dark Match. I think I enjoyed Dark Match more. It's more my kind of horror. I don't know, maybe that's my age, maybe it, I don't know. It's maybe there's a little too much rom in this horror movie for me. I don't mind a little comedy, but I don't know. Maybe it was a little too much of the fairy tale romantic stuff in this. I don't know. Man, I don't know. It was,
It
I don't know.
well, it did. It played up on that sort of genre a lot. It kind of seemed like if a rom-com went bad, you know what I mean? Went wrong.
Yeah, and I
It's
get they
kind of
were
how it
poking at
felt.
it a little, but I think it again, if they had just had something at the end that would have poked it one last time, it might have sealed the deal for me. Just the way it finished, I'm like, okay, they're not committing to this. Let's poke at the rom-com. I don't know. It just felt a little flat, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm an old man. But again, it was okay. I still enjoyed it. I still thought, I thought the design, the look of the killer was still good. I was still happy with that. I didn't have a lot of disappointments with the killer and the reveals and things. There was some parts of it to me that were very predictable, but that's okay. Again, we like we just said, it's hard, very hard to not come up with a way. I was very fearful early in this movie. And again, this is spoiler, but that's okay because I feel like it's a spoiler in the okay. I will flat out tell people, right or wrong, Mason Gooding's character, not the killer. And I was so afraid early in the movie that was just going to be the way they were going to go. And I thought, man, if they do that, that's so cheap and so easy. They didn't, which, okay, I will give them that much because I was so afraid. Because it's almost like they wanted to make that obvious that this is the way it's going to go, but they didn't, right? They it was okay with that, but and again, but it was okay. It's an okay movie. I to rate it. Let's get to the ratings again. I can't say much. To me, this is just pretty much a straight 3 out of 5 for me. It's just kind of a it's a fun middle of the ground movie. Nothing really sets it that far apart. Knocks it up any for me. I enjoyed it. I can't say that I didn't. But there's nothing to me that really makes me think of it any more highly than a 3. So, Ike, what are you rating Hard Eyes?
Well, this might be unpopular, but I'm gonna give it a 4. I would go back and watch this movie. This is a movie that I would revisit yearly, as sort of a holiday tradition, especially around Valentine's Day. There's very few holiday horror films anymore, it feels like. So, getting any kind of holiday-esque horror film is good to me, and because of that, I like it. It was good. And I think that, I am a sucker for holiday horror films, so perhaps I'm not the best judge of character on this, but that's okay. I'm willing to accept that.
I do love a holiday horror as well, and I think that's maybe why I gave it, why it gave me 3. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't feel like this is anywhere in the realm of either version of My Bloody Valentine. I don't feel like it was as good as either version. Again, it's not a bad movie. So, and I'm not saying I wouldn't rewatch it as well every year just because, right? Just because I am a sucker for holiday horror. So just on that principle alone, maybe I would rewatch it, but I don't know. It's okay. And again, Mason Gooding was great. He is a super talented actor in whatever role. And I'm seeing this it just makes me more excited that he is coming back for the next Scream in whatever capacity for however long, whatever it might be that his character comes back. It does make me excited for that. So next
Absolutely.
episode, we are going to review the movie Delicate Arch. This movie is described as 4 college kids with fracturing relationships take a camping trip in order to escape an ecological disaster. Alone in the desert, they begin to suspect that their reality might not be as it seems and soon realize they're being watched. This movie, by the time you listen to this, will be available to watch on Screambox. I have heard that this movie, in all the descriptions, I've heard this movie is a lot of break the fourth wall type shit in a very cool way. So I'm hoping that's true. I'm curious about that because when you hear the description where it says realize they're being watched and you tell me it breaks the fourth wall, I kind of like that correlation and how what can they do that in a creative way? I like that. So we'll see what it does.
Absolutely.
I've heard some good things, but we'll see next episode what we think of it. But again, by the time you hear this, go give it a watch on Screambox. I'd like to say thank you to our wives and as well as all the listeners and followers for all your support in keeping this podcast alive and kicking for all this time, and for being patient with me for missing a week and being completely just bombed out today on cold medicine. I'm literally tripping balls on cold medicine. There's no bones about it. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform, like I mentioned earlier. You just got to search for Listen to Screams. It's Listen, the number two in Screams. We're there. I don't care what platform it is. Go give us a look. We're there. We post lots of stuff on there. All the news and birthdays and stuff that we talk about in the show. And plus other stuff as it pops up that maybe, just is too prevalent to wait for the next episode. We put it on there as well. So give us a follow. Give us an interaction. And you know what? Maybe you'll be a subject of a future talk to us internet. We would like that. We won't burn you. We won't call you a fool or anything. We're not that kind of guy. But before we get out of here, I just feel like I'm just ambling around in the clouds here. Before we close, anything you want to add?
Well, just everyone out there, the world around us is getting crazier every day, it seems. So, just stay safe and, just do what you can to enjoy the little things, and hopefully everything will blow over soon, as our boy Sean would say. We'll head on down to the Winchester and enjoy a cold pint and wait for this all to blow over.
That's right. And like we say all the time, you know what? Regardless of anything, just be fucking cool, man. Just be nice. Set out to every day. If you're out in public, just set out to do something nice for somebody. Whether it be just a simple smile, a simple hello to someone, you never know whose day you're gonna make. Just don't be a fucking dick. I don't give a shit about, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that's dividing people. Whether it be, whatever. Multiple things and or down to what you thought of the movie Hard Eyes. There's lots of things dividing people. And it is what it is. Don't be dicks. Just be nice. It doesn't take anything to smile at someone and wave or say hi and whatever. And
True.
again, I'm on cold medicine. I'm rambling, but just be nice. And
I'm high off Mountain Dew.
And anyway, and you know what? If all else fails, just hole up at home and watch horror movies. And
That's right.
that's always a good philosophy. Just order some food or make some food or whatever it might be. Get a nice cold beverage. I would recommend it be of the adult quantity if you're of age, but that's okay. And just watch a horror movie. Whether it be if you haven't watched it yet, watch Deathmatch, watch Hard Eyes, or watch Delicate Arch for next week, or watch a classic, watch your favorite, whatever it is, just watch a horror movie. Because no matter what's going on in the world, it's good to sometimes just watch someone's fucking guts get turned inside out.
True.
And makes you just feel all good and good on yourself. So, but I don't know. That could just fucking be the medicine talking. But yeah, we've gone a little long, but we had to play a little catch up from the missed week. So we hoped you missed us. We missed you. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's all I got to say. I don't know.
He's
We're
high on that
gonna.
cold medicine, man.
I am, man. I'm telling you. I'm just gonna go have some dinner and watch some Supernatural and just try to mellow out. But so until next week, where we will be reviewing the movie Delicate Arch, which you can watch now on Screambox. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.